Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's meditation is recorded in the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. And I'm departing slightly from the text. We're going to focus on verse 6 in the text for today, but I'm also reading one that's not here from verse 20. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. This is our text. In Christ, we're observing Easter, but why this text from Jesus' high priestly prayer, which was spoken the night before he was betrayed? It's Easter. But this prayer, prayed before his death, envisions all future Easters. And I would propose to you there are three points that I want to look at on the basis of these texts. Number one, that it affirms that God has manifested his name, his saving name to believers. Two, in it he rejoices that his believing disciples have kept the word. And finally, on the basis of that verse that I added to the text here today, we see that he encourages future believers by his message passed on through the 12. Very important part. We're not in a history lesson right here where we're just talking about Jesus and his disciples. He makes it very clear that this message is for all future generations. What would life be like if after the fall into sin, God had not revealed himself? Some people, atheists, agnostics, unbelievers, they live in such a black hole of a life, and yet they don't realize it. They seem to be happy. Yet some of them are living for life's pleasures in reckless abandon, or they're withdrawing sometimes within themselves into self-delusions. And those are just two possible versions of living life without God. Even though the world rejected God in despair and death from the beginning, God revealed his name to the world through Israel in order to give back the world everlasting life. Remember, human beings were created with immortality. They lost that immortality and became mortal. In Jesus Christ, God restored immortality. One day, Moses asked God, when people ask me, what is your name, what shall I say? What a novel idea. God has a specific name that he calls himself by, which is why it is wrong to worship God by any other name than that which he has revealed himself by. I mean, is there anybody here by the name John, Sarah, Mike, whatever your name is, who feels comfortable when somebody mistakenly call you by the wrong name, not your name? Why should it be any different for God? How did God reply to Moses? I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God's name, in various versions, is Yahweh, oftentimes translated the Lord. And so you can see that in the Hebrew, Yahweh, that's his name. But it's also shortened. He has a kind of a nickname. He's also called Yah. When God sought someone to lead his people into the promised land, Moses had failed the test. He chose Yeshua. Notice in his name, Yah, the very name of God, Shua, the Hebrew word for saves. Yeshua, the Lord saves. And because of the lack of the Yah and Shah sound in Hebrew, when that word was translated into the Greek, it became what? Jesus, Jesus. Joshua was what biblical scholars call a type. Just as Joshua led God's people to the promised land of Zion below, so it was that Jesus, the New Testament Yeshua, would come to be the Lord saving all people from their sins, to give them what? Zion above, heaven. This is the meaning of Easter. That Yahweh, I am, had taken on human flesh in his Son to redeem humankind. Which is why when Jesus' own Jewish people challenged him about who he was, he said, before Abraham was born, I am. And they knew exactly who he was identifying himself with, which is why they took up stones to kill him, accusing him of blasphemy, because he was identifying himself with who he was, the very God of the universe who had taken on human flesh. They ought to have worshipped him. Jesus Christ was God incarnate, the Messiah, the one who had died and on Easter rose from the dead, declaring the full and free forgiveness of sins and declaring his name, I am who I am. I am Easter. I am the Savior of the world. Notice Yeshua, the Savior, the one who saves. That's why Christ can say, as he does in John 8:51, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Easter is the fullest manifestation of the Savior's name because in it, God demonstrated the very character of God. His name is a verb. It means I will be what I will be. It's an existential verb. I am. It's about existence itself. God lives forever. And so when his Son took on human flesh, he destroyed sin, death, and the devil, very much in keeping with the very character of who we would expect God to be and do. And he left in its stead forgiveness and everlasting life for us fallen mortal creatures, being given back our immortality. Jesus not only manifested his name, but secondly, he rejoiced that his disciples had kept Christ's message about his saving name. But how can we say that? Jesus' disciples kept his name? These are the ones that had second-guessed him, doubted him, challenged him, and they're about ready to deny him. How can Jesus see those who are going to flee into the night that they have kept his word? Jesus saw Easter. He acknowledged they had doubted and denied him. But when all the others, disciples, had turned away from the hard teaching, these disciples, in fact, kept his word by God's grace. And what does it mean? It means that they believed it, they cleaved to it, they obeyed it, they stood guard over it, they lived in it. Peter put it this way early on in Jesus' ministry, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. On Easter morn, they were still there. Jesus saw that. They had fled into the night, but they were there. And they saw him and they believed in him. And what does Jesus say of those who keep his word in such fashion? Anyone who does this, Jesus said, will certainly never see death. Easter. That's what Easter is about. So finally, Jesus in this text, in the verse that I added, directly connects this message about his disciples to all future Easter disciples. This is not merely about the 12, in other words. Christ in verse 20 looks ahead to all who shall believe in the risen Christ through their message, through the disciples' message. I do not pray for these alone, but for also for those who will believe in me through their word. Remember, in this high priestly prayer, Jesus prophesied. Go back to John 15:16, and you'll see that Jesus is prophesying Pentecost in the coming of the Holy Spirit, who will lead his disciples to pen the New Testament, to write down Christ's messages in this very gospel that we are reading here today. and in the message of Paul and in the epistles, guaranteeing its survival by inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus had in mind you and me that night before he was crucified when he spoke the high priestly prayer. He was looking ahead to Easter. And so we today, because of the great love of the Lord God I am, we acknowledge the manifestation of his saving name, Jesus Christ. We confess him as our Lord and Savior. And finally, we, like the disciples, affirm our commitment to keep, by God's grace, this Easter message of life, to believe it, to cleave to it, to obey it, to stand guard over it, and to live by it. And if we, like the wandering sheep that we oftentimes have been, have drifted away from it, the Savior calls us, as he always does, to repentance and faith, and to believe this holy message. For these words of the Scripture, these words that Jesus prophesied would be for all future believers, are words of forgiveness, grace, love, happiness, joy, hope for all of you, for us, manifestations of the glorious salvation of Jesus Christ, the great I Am of Easter. Amen.